today's Gospel, we hear Jesus promising the pledge of the Holy Spirit, that the Father and Son will come to dwell in our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. In today's first reading, we really see a depiction and a picture of what a life in the Holy Spirit looks like as we follow along the story of Paul and Barnabas, who are inspired by the Spirit to go and preach and to go and bring the gift of Jesus to all those whom they meet. And as they go along, their preaching is very dynamic. It is very effective proclamation of the truth. And they are also having their words accompanied by signs, such as the healing of the crippled and such healing ministry, which ultimately, again, is a sign of the Holy Spirit among them. What's interesting in today's first reading is that we see the diversity of reactions to this ministry of Paul and Barnabas. We really, in a way, have kind of a roller coaster of different extremes. On the one hand, they're absolutely despised for what they're doing, and some are trying to kill them. And on the other hand, some are so impressed and taken by their ministry and by their preaching and works that they are trying to declare them as being gods. So I think today is a good day to reflect on what is our approach to the different gifts that we encounter in life, both our own and those of others. And here we could be speaking of our natural gifts such as intelligence or physical capacities that we have, but also charisms or gifts in the Holy Spirit such as prophecy, preaching, teaching, and healing. There's really two perspectives to consider. The first one is going to be, how is it that we approach these gifts when we find them in other people? And here I think there are a couple of dangers to avoid, which we see ultimately in the reaction to Paul and Barnabas. The one danger to avoid is to make false idols out of such people and in a sense to overpraise them and to admire them too much, such that we focus their gifts on their person and wind up admiring them too much and forgetting where the origin of these gifts come from. And the other danger is ultimately to be jealous, to be desirous of having those gifts ourselves and to be jealous of the possession of these gifts by others. And I think in both cases of those extremes, the important thing to always remember is, what is the source and origin of those gifts? Again, be they natural talents or charisms of the Holy Spirit, they are gifts which ultimately originate in God, and their intended benefit is for the building up of the body of Christ. And therefore, the approach ought to be to encourage the development of one another's gifts, but ultimately to stay grounded, as we were repeating in the responsorial psalm, and remembering these gifts ultimately come from God. And He is the one who deserves the praise and honor, and the utilization of these gifts is for the building up of His kingdom. The second perspective then is with respect to our own gifts and talents. And maybe the first thing to say here is to acknowledge that we all do have some gifts and talents, even though perhaps sometimes they may be a little bit hidden. But here too, we are called to always be grounded in humility and truth. To remember again that these gifts are originating from God, and that ultimately helps to keep us humble. To remember, we don't deserve the credit for it, even though it's true we have to work and we have to cultivate them. But really, they are gifts from God, which again are meant to be utilized for the gift of the building up of the kingdom. And I think what we see in the life of Paul, Barnabas, and the other apostles, the one reality which always keeps them grounded in this truth is the presence of the cross in their life. And the presence of the cross and the suffering which they encounter as they go around ultimately helps to purify their motivation and to constantly remind them that they are following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, which is a journey that is headed toward the cross and ultimately toward the resurrection. And with their eyes fixed on this goal, it helps them to stay grounded in remembering the origin of the gifts, but also in remembering the purpose of these gifts. Finally, in conclusion, it is worth pointing out that the greatest gift that any of us have ever received is really the gift of God Himself. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of the indwelling of God within us that we receive in our baptism. And there's one particular manifestation of this gift of love of the Holy Spirit, which is one gift which is very underappreciated, and none of us are probably that keen on receiving. But the ultimate manifestation on that gift of the Holy Spirit and that gift of love really is that one cross of Jesus Christ. And it's very easy to admire gifts that people have that are all sorts of talents and abilities, but we should never forget that the greatest gift we received is the cross of Jesus Christ, and the greatest gift that we therefore can participate in is to be able to unite our own sufferings and journey in life to that one cross of Jesus, and to encourage one another to accept the gift of the cross as the means which brought us sanctification and redemption, and as the means by which we too are able to share in this redemptive mission that Jesus has. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward on this Monday of the fifth week of Easter, let us ask God for the grace that we would always place in the proper context the different gifts that we encounter in life, whether be it our own or those of others, that we would remember that they originate in God, that their purpose is for the building up of His kingdom, and that we would always rejoice in the gift of the Holy Spirit that we have received, and that we would pray to receive and accept the gift of the cross in our own life. Amen.